The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
How we sound now? Are we good?
Yeah, we're chatting. All right, guys. How do we sound now? Do we sound good? At least anyone else other than Maddie?
I purposely make my voice incredibly strong on this so that I can overpower every single one of you. No,
everybody sounds good to me. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's on Twitch.
Yeah, we're on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So we good? We good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right. So yeah, let's begin the show.
I'm in a different corner. I'm in a different box on Twitch.
Yeah.
And there's a moving, there's parallax scrolling and everything.
Oh, yeah. That's our new setup we got
How
here.
How did you do that, man? I'm sorry. Yes. In the game business, what's going on?
Well, I mean, we can talk about that later. But yeah, a lot of the stuff that you're seeing, all that stuff was done inside of, what is it? OBS. You can make scrolling things and all kinds of fun little effects.
I didn't know that.
The reason how we're all separated out, that's all color keying, technical shit.
Yeah. I know how to do all that.
So, yeah. All right. So, yeah.
All right, cool.
I guess we'll just to start up. So, Phil Spencer says Google and Amazon are Xbox's main competitor. What do we think about that one?
Yo, man, what about Sony?
What about Sony?
Because we talked about before, they're going in a different direction. Mm-hmm. They're really focusing on this gaming anywhere idea, and of course with the xCloud and what Stadia is doing, but that's sort of falling apart. And from what we understand, Amazon's also thinking of gaming. They already had their gaming division for a little bit, and that fell apart. Remember, they had some studios that they purchased and
yep.
were going to do direct gaming.
They bought Double Helix.
So it looks like they might go a different route, but definitely go through.
Here's the thing. Like, we've been saying this ever since, since the beginning when they started talking about xCloud and they started talking about all this stuff, that Microsoft is becoming a service. Their way that they're doing what they sort of do best, which is concentrating more on software than on hardware. So it's like they want to be everywhere. They want to be able to be, they want you to be able to put in your, if you feel so inclined to play it the old-fashioned way in your Xbox, or if you go off to your PC or your phone, they want to be everywhere that you're going to be. And that's, it's not about console exclusives, it's about ecosystem exclusives. That new Hellblade game, that's going to be on all the different things that allow for xCloud. As well as, they're probably still going to be printing discs, but who knows how long that's going to last.
Right.
People, if you got Android, go download the beta for the xCloud. That shit works.
Yeah.
It works. And that will be amazing when it's officially out there in the wild and you're putting it on your tabletop and just gaming a full game like a Destiny 2 or Gears 5 or what have you. And your buddy next to you is just playing some other rinky-dink shit on his phone like a typical phone game. It's like, yo, look what you can do now. And I think that's going to be a big selling point. That people are like, well, this is worth having because then I have my game library on all different devices and platforms. My save world is still saved up in the cloud. So if I get to chapter 3 on the phone or my tablet and I go to my console, I'm still on chapter 3. That's crazy.
You know what Microsoft has done with their infrastructure right now at this juncture? They have made paying for Xbox Live worth it.
Yes.
Game Pass, xCloud coming up. They've made it worth the price. I mean, you remember how people used to complain about paying for Xbox Live all those years?
Oh, yeah.
Now you're getting serious value for your money.
Well, Game Pass is not included into Xbox Live, like the payment that you make for Xbox Live. That's an additional.
Right, well, but you package it all together.
Yeah, you get the package. Now, the xCloud, they said, was going to have a separate pack. That's the other thing.
They'll probably have some super Tyson X Ultimate Combo package you can get.
They already have Ultimate package. How can they up the ante?
Platinum.
Yeah, they can do it. They'll do it.
They
Yeah,
there's probably a bunch of people that don't even have consoles that they're going to try to lure in.
Yep.
That's exactly what they're going for. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got a tablet. Lots of people have PCs. They want to capture all of that sort of that market. They don't want to just be like, hey, we just have this VCR that plays our tapes. You know, they want to be everywhere. And you know, it's interesting seeing like how a lot of the fans, like, you know, the big old Xbox fans, like, oh man, you know, this is stupid, blah blah blah. I'm like, guys, that's the future. It's just what the way it is. For me, even like, you know, I'm still a guy that buys console games. I admit that this is the future. As far, you know, buys essentially this, like, I go to the store and I buy a game. That's the way I've always done it. You know, I like still doing that. But there's gonna be a time when it's not gonna be that way. It's just going to be like everything's going to be set on their cloud, onto somebody's service. And you even see it right now. I mean, Sony's not pushing it right now too much, but they have their own fucking service.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. I mean, and they've had it since, you know, for years. It's the only thing is, it's like, I'm sure, like, once this xCloud, once this really starts rolling with this, that's when they're going to start to fix their own.
Yeah, because it was a lot of the members of PS3, and then they started adding some of their exclusive PS4 games. But it's not as current as the Game Pass is.
It's not. Like, you can't go on right now and get Death Stranding.
I mean, you got day one releases popping up on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Just to have that ability, it's like day one, get to play it, and it's then the Xbox and all this played anywhere.
It's amazing because somebody like me who has it forgets that you get all that Xbox shit day one. So I'm like, oh yeah, you know, Gears is coming. Oh yeah, that's right. I just got to download it.
Turn notifications on.
I'll have to go to Amazon. Yeah.
I get these notifications. Hey, by the way, we put Final Fantasy 15 on there. Oh, by the way.
I got that today. Final Fantasy 15's on Game Pass. I'm like, really? That's cool.
Yeah, I've said this on the show for a while now. I think Game Pass is probably the best price, like, value for your price, in gaming right now, because it's just so much that it offers. Like, even if you're just playing Gears, Halo, Forza, like, it's worth it just for those alone. Like, they pay themselves from the subscription.
That's $180 right there.
Mm-hmm. And well, here's one thing for me though that kind of worries me. It's like, I understand the overall picture that what they're trying to do is, you know, trying to be the cloud gaming equivalent to the other competitors, but they're going to release a console this year. So what does that say about their sort of, you know, their I don't think that's the best way to sell a console, saying that
The console's for the traditionalists, the people that just want to have a console and have that experience. This is their way of saying, hey, this is for you. It's all souped up and it's a premium thing for you. But if you want to go anywhere else, we have this other service. You know, it's their high-end device.
If you look at what they're doing, Microsoft has touched every facet of gaming. So traditional console gamers, PC gamers. Now they're going for mobile devices with xCloud and streaming and all that stuff. And then you put Game Pass out there, and then all of their games are available to everyone. So they're taking little bits of market share from every facet of gaming. And they're setting themselves up for the future. This is what all the companies want. Sony wants it too. Nintendo could give two shits. Well, but
no, Nintendo will never give up hardware. They'll never give up hardware.
Right, right. Exactly.
We can link this in now. NVIDIA wants it because NVIDIA wants it. Yesterday, GeForce Now is live.
This is a good step towards being a complete service, because Microsoft can then pivot and say, your phone's an Xbox and your TV is an Xbox. You don't need an Xbox anymore. That won't exist. Everything will be an Xbox. It's like, you know, your fridge is an Xbox, you know, whatever. Yeah. Play on anything.
Fridge or microwave while I'm getting warming up my Hot Pockets. Oh, earn some TiVos on the go.
So yeah, I mean, like, it only makes sense that he would say something like this. And, you know, it's just literally putting that flag right down and be like, yep, that's it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, when they look at Phil's statement, a lot of the dense gamers out there, they look at it and like, oh, they're doing, and a lot of them are joking, but some of them actually believe that, oh, they're saying that Amazon and Google are the competition because they can't compete with Sony and Nintendo. No. All of them. Cloud services. That's the one thing they have in common. Yeah. Amazon. Microsoft, I'd say, is number one with Azure. Then you got Amazon Cloud Services. Then you got Google Cloud. The three biggest cloud service providers in the world. Okay? That is their competition, because if you win the cloud, you win the entire globe. You don't have to distribute consoles all over the world now. You know how Microsoft sucks as far as the worldwide market goes. They don't have a worldwide market like Sony. Well, you get your cloud services in Dubai and fucking Laos and all these other countries out there, and all people have to do is take their existing mobile device or tablet and get on Game Pass and play Xbox games. Guess what? You've just infiltrated the whole planet with your product.
Yeah.
And that's the future. So all you dense gamers out there saying that it's because Sony, and the only other thing gamers got to understand, yeah, Sony sold 100 million consoles. They're kicking fucking ass. But that doesn't mean Microsoft wasn't profitable. And the name of the game is profits. It doesn't matter who, like, I think if you ask Microsoft, what's more important to you, being profitable or selling more consoles than Sony, they're going to say, well, we want to be profitable. Because if you're profitable, you survive, your product lives on, you can make new products. There's an Xbox Series X coming out because Xbox One was profitable, either through console sales, software sales, or Xbox Live and Game Pass sales. There are profits there. Sony wants those profits. Nintendo wants those profits. Why do you think Nintendo now has a pay service for online? Because they see that Sony and Microsoft are making money. There's a trickle-down theory here, and the cascades throughout the industry. And now that is happening on the cloud side of things. Sony just made a huge investment in Microsoft Azure services.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because you definitely know that they looked at it, and they're definitely not going to go with Google,
right?
And they're going to go exactly. They're going to go with the guys that actually know about this sort of stuff,
right?
Which doing is essentially done it for years, right?
For at least 10 years.
You know, Microsoft probably knows better than anybody else, especially at this point in time, what kind of speeds or what kind of, you know, they would actually need to be able to run a service like this smoothly.
Yeah. Yep. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, Google knows exactly what it takes to fail service, so they got that.
But the thing is, so if you look at Microsoft, they've been working on Azure for years, right? Amazon, same thing. Google has great cloud services, but they're getting into that game space now, so they have a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
This, even if the Stadia fails, they'll just say, okay, let's take it and do this with it and make it better. I mean, it's the move that most game companies do. Look at Fortnite. Fortnite was a tower defense game. Mm-hmm. PUBG came out and they said, oh, that's cool. Let's put that in the Fortnite. Now look at them. Now they got their own store. They've exploded. Google's going to find a way to turn this into something positive and make it work.
I mean, if they're not looking at what the market is doing, then they're stupid,
right?
You know, if they're not looking what all the other guys are doing, then they're not being open to.
It makes me wonder now if the whole thing with GeForce Now and having the ability to import your Steam library, your Epic, and your Blizzard, if that's exclusive. If it's not, that's something that NVIDIA really needs right now, because that's what's hurting them. They don't have games on there, and then the games you have are old and they're at full price. It's not a bargain. It's not a deal. And now that we saw an announcement yesterday that GeForce Now is live and you can import all these other games that you already own and play them on your Shield, on your PC, your Mac, your tablet, that's eating up NVIDIA's market, at least with the market that they were hoping to get.
Right.
And by the way, Adam, that's a really good segue, because that's our next topic here. We're talking about GeForce is now streaming. It goes from it's launching right now with, it has available Steam, Epic Games Store, Battle.net, and Epic.
And Uplay.
And Uplay.
Yeah.
I tried it. I was using it for the Steam aspect of it, and it worked great. Got to play the games, some of the smaller games. Even gave me an option to download it. I was doing it on my Shield, and I did also on my desktop. Worked fine. There's two tiers. There's a free tier, and the free tier lets you play for an hour, which is more enough time if you just want to jump in, jump out, whatever. And then there's a cooldown period. I haven't bumped into that cooldown, so I don't know how long that is. And there's nowhere on the site that doesn't mention it. It just says that there is a cooldown. And then there's the $4.99, which they said could change at any point, but right now that $4.99 gives you unlimited amount of time.
Interesting.
But either way, the free tier, you still get 1080p, 60 FPS. So you're not getting gimped on it. It's just the 1 hour. So
what did you play on?
I played on my NVIDIA Shield.
Okay, so you had a hardwired connection?
Oh, no, 5G, wireless.
Of motherfuckers with the 5G, you're killing
me. That's it. I went on my 5G, and there's two ways. First, you could always do they. It's so crazy how they have this, because within the application, the NVIDIA Shield, it's NVIDIA Games, or now they're changing it to GeForce, but it still says NVIDIA. But when you go into it, it'll scan your network, and it automatically picked up my desktop PC upstairs that has Steam on it. It says, hey, you got Steam, we could stream games from there. You want to scan it? Boom, it scanned it. It's all the games that I had on there. You want to play direct? You want to stream it? No problem. No fee for that. That's it. Just go and play it. Now, already in the store, because that's Android TV, there is a Steam Link app. So I guess that's why they were like, we'll just integrate that. You know, you don't even need to go outside the app. It's all integrated. So yeah. That's one of the options. Then the other one is when I went into Steam, it opens up big picture mode. And this, again, is within the GeForce. You pair up. Once you pair it up, Steam, go in. It opens big picture mode. I see all my games. Now, not all the games work right now, at least for the stream play. I clicked on a few, Doom and a few other ones. Gave me a little message, hey, with sports coming soon. But Street Fighter and stuff, they were working. You know, it worked. It played. And for some of the smaller games, it actually gave me an option to do an install, just to download the game.
Hmm. Adam, I have a quick dumb question. When you said you're playing it off of 5G, do you mean 5G as in the new cell phone technology, or gigahertz? 5G,
on my Wi-Fi network. Not the on my AC router. Because you have the 2G, you have the 2, and then you have the 5.
Standard. You mean 5 gig? You mean 5 gigahertz?
Yeah,
the frequency on your router. 5G,
okay.
Yeah, not over that. No. Not
in the sky.
not through a cell tower. This is it.
I'm actually thinking about picking up a Shield.
Oh, Shield's awesome.
The prices are loaded, though.
It's still good. They haven't changed anything when it comes to the aspect of gaming. It's all the new iterations, just to a lot of upscaling for 4K and HDR. If you're really going to use it for HDR and 4K, then yeah, you can go for the 2019, but 2015 is just fine for all the gaming, all the specs, all this stuff that I just talked about, all works on it, no issues. So you can get an older version.
Interesting.
The show is not sponsored in any way by anybody.
It's an awesome device, man. You know, you can load in RetroArch if you're familiar with that. Load in all your ROMs, just dump everything, play your N64, all that stuff. No issues. All free.
Interesting.
He's gonna pull the cord.
The throwdown also doesn't condone piracy.
Yes.
You say I don't rip my own games? I'm making backups?
I would never imply you sail the high seas. Never.
Okay, exactly. Oh. But it's an awesome device. It's an awesome device. But the whole point, to get back to the topic, is that the fact that now they're in that space, and they're in that space making a big splash because of this integration of these stores. That's something that Google should have really looked into. If they would have said, hey, we got Stadia, we have some games that you can buy, but you can import and stream play certain games that you already own from these other stores, I think it would have had a little better reception. But once this news gets out there, because, I mean, look, it's still foreign. And even now, if I didn't have this, a Shield and the whole thing, I would still be kind of like, wait, NVIDIA is doing what? They have a service? Well, how does this work? What do you mean? So once it gets out there, people say, wow, there is another service out there, and they do have a free tier, and I can link with all my old games. I'm sure it's going to get involved, and it's going to make some kind of impact on this market.
That's interesting. So yeah, next one we're going to talk about is Dan Houser leaves Rockstar Games. That is a pretty big deal. Yeah.
Wait, where did he go? Didn't he go to Blizzard?
He didn't go anywhere yet. No, that was the head of the Coalition.
That's the head of the Coalition. Yeah, that's actually, we're going to talk about that one next. But yes.
Spoiler.
Yes, but but Dan Houser apparently left Rockstar. That's what Witherspoon
said. Oh, here's the thing. Jason Schreier linked to an SEC filing from Take-Two Interactive that had a note on there that Dan Houser is leaving the company as of March 11th.
Oh.
So he's already put in his resignation. I I honestly, when Tony asked me about it, the first thing I thought of is Take-Two probably is pushing him out.
They probably and are.
I but don't know where he's going.
Off. He took time off a while ago.
Well, I mean, he does a lot of the writing for the games. Yeah, yeah. So he probably takes long breaks, you know, after all that production. He probably
aren't there break. Two Housers, though?
Yeah, his brother Sam. Yeah, they founded the company together. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that one of them leaves. That it seems odd to me, especially with how well Rockstar is doing.
Yeah.
So I can only think that maybe Red Dead is not performing as expected or as promised or whatever. They might be putting pressure on him, and he might be like, you know what, fuck this. You know, I don't really run this ship anymore. He has to answer to Take-Two, and maybe he doesn't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or I got another thing for you. Yeah, GTA 5 is still selling. Maybe he said, you know what, I'm filthy. Fucking rich. Here's my story. Here's my pitch for GTA 6. I'm leaving.
That's possible. He could take that money and walk. I mean, he's six GTAs under your belt. You get a credit on that one. You don't need to do anymore.
I also don't know how the game industry works when it comes to, like, you know, previous titles. So, like, if Rockstar keeps putting out Grand Theft Auto, the old Grand Theft Auto games, like they've been, does that mean the Hauser brothers still get, like, money off of that?
It depends on the contract that they signed.
I'm pretty sure they do get royalties.
Yeah, some royalties. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That way the royalties ensure that Take-Two doesn't have to pay them a lot of upfront cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
this guy is still 40. Like, he's only 46 years old. This dude is fucking young.
And you realize he probably has a golden parachute too for his leaving the company. So he gets money out the door, and he'll get royalties for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Damn. And you just walk away. Yeah. I mean, you just walk away while the walking's good, right? I mean, he's probably a rich man right now.
He was rich
before all this.
Now we say this now, but if next week I hear he went to Blizzard, I'm going to flip out. I'm going to put on a tinfoil hat and start trying to figure. I'm going to have to become Columbo and figure out how Blizzard is attracting all these people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't need to go anywhere for money.
He's at Activision. He's got what he? No, he's work. That'd be hilarious. They just find. They announce him on the new Saints Row game. It's like, wait, what?
Well, there is a new Saints Row game coming out.
I know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yo, we need somebody to fix this. Wait, the Grand Theft Auto guy just left. All right, let's get him. All right. So the next one we're going to talk about is.
Can I interject real quick?
Oh yeah, sure. What's up?
Just a quick something I was gonna say in two topics ago. Torrance mentioned something about Google still has a lot to learn when it comes to gaming, and I just find it ironic that the guy they hire is Phil Harrison to lead the thing.
Well, we keep mentioning that Phil Harrison is just shows up in there. You know, like every single thing that Phil Harrison has touched has turned to shit. Like, come on. Like, what was it? Okay, well, let's go over it. Like, he was there during the time Sony was
the PS3
having
launch.
The PS3 launch when they were having all that silliness. He was at Atari when that shit fell apart.
Gaikai?
Yep, Gaikai. That's another one he's been at.
Gaikai was actually a success. They sold it to Sony.
I think they just sold the resources because, I mean, they weren't going to go anywhere without Sony buying them.
Right, that was a cash grab, though.
Yeah.
Who's this mysterious person that we see standing here?
Yeah, who jumped in here?
And
it's the Discord controller.
It could be anybody.
What, Mr. Burdock? Hey, Lord. What's up? So
Hey.
Hey guys.
Bort.
So we're just talking about the usual stuff here. You know, we talked about Phil Spencer essentially saying that Google and that Google Amazon. And Amazon are their main competition, not like the main, you know, not like Sony or Nintendo, because obviously they're going into the streaming space. Dan Houser is going to be leaving Rockstar. That's the one that we just spoke about right now. And now Rod Ferguson is leaving Gears of War. Gears of War franchise for Diablo.
Oh,
he's been with Microsoft since early 2000s. He was involved with Gears 1.
Well,
so
was he?
Yeah, he's been around. It was him and Cliffy B. Mm-hmm.
So you think you think Mike Ybarra pulled him out of there?
It might be.
I mean, I just find it too odd that two Microsoft alum are now at Blizzard in short amount of time apart from each other.
Yeah.
Well, I think if anything, it was time to go. I mean, he's been involved with that title forever. You know, he left for a while and then he came back when they started the Coalition Studio. When it
But here's the thing, though. Maybe it's not a situation, you know, that just that maybe he saw, just like how we kind of theorize with Mike Ybarra, that maybe they were in a position where they could never go higher or lower. I mean, to be honest, what will the Coalition continuously do? They're probably going to always make Gears of War games.
Well, yeah, but the thing, I'm sure it's either that and also
maybe
just wants
maybe
new.
He maybe That's he all. Wants to do something. Maybe he wants to do something different. It's only so long that you only so long that you can continuously do the same thing where you're just like, you know what, I think it's time. I mean,
sure, I agree, but do you leave? You leave a place like Microsoft and go to a sinking ship like Blizzard.
Yes, especially.
I mean, is that a step up?
It's a challenge. He's going there to work on Diablo. He did confirm that much. He's doing Diablo. He's going there to work a new IP. So it's probably something.
Well, it's not a new IP, but it's new for him. Yeah. It's not new in general. And also, Blizzard just, I don't, they're just like a train wreck because so what's the latest thing? Or Warcraft 3 Reforged, everybody wants refunds. The game wasn't as pop. It's like Colonial Marines all over again.
But here's the funny thing out of all of this, Cliffy B, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but he said
you keep on mentioning topics before we're gonna talk
I didn't
about
know
them.
You brought this this no, is all related good. It's all though it's related though
it's all good.
Because it's all related to this. Because once he found out about this, he said, "Hey, the offer's still out there to bring me in as a consultant on Gears."
Oh wait, no, we didn't talk about that one. It's something about law.
Oh, interesting.
No.
Cliffy tweeted to Microsoft that he'd come back to work on Gears. Now
to come back as a consultant.
It's interesting. It's like Mike's gone. He's like, "Yo, man, remember me?"
Yeah.
I did.
They should bring him back.
Why you know, not? You know, it would be actually a kind of a bump to the franchise a little bit.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, you know, Gears, you know, like a lot of folks have been saying the modern Gears games have just kind of not had that feel to them. You know, where they have that sort of Cliffy-ish thing.
Well, what he said, that there was a bunch of stuff on the cutting room floor that Ferguson left out that he could definitely implement.
Oh, he's fishing.
Oh yeah, he's fishing. He's like, yo, I got some ideas. I'm not coming in just to bring him. I got some ideas.
That's like some Hideo Kojima coming back to Metal Gear sort of shit.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what, and you were right. I mean, that's something they can definitely use as a sell because even though Ferguson was part of it, he wasn't the face.
He wasn't the face of it. Yeah.
Cliffy was the face. Cliffy was the one going doing the rounds with promos and doing GameStop signings and stuff. So if you mention, hey, another Gear's coming, and this is with Cliffy involved, and he does the same thing, going around shaking hands, kissing babies. People are like, shit, I'm interested. I want this to bring some new life to it.
It's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, Adam, you said bring life to it. I thought it was already the buddy.
It is. Oh. But the thing is, I'm just saying for those who have walked away from it, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, and this is my issue that I had when I was playing it, and it was always me and my buddy and then a little bit with you, Carlos. But I had a whole crew of people that used to play this game religiously. We would jump into multiplayer and play, and motherfuckers are on playing Netflix and Hulu, and like, yo, sending game invites. They just like ignored it. I'm like, it's fun. Everything is here. They made all these improvements. It's a great game, and I think a lot of people just felt, oh, well, I played all the other ones. It's more of the same. When it's really
no, fun, it's not.
It's not. And hopefully, I'm thinking this would be a good shot in the arm. Just mentioning Cliffy's involvement.
Should have him on stage at E3.
There you go.
Holding the Lancer.
Yeah, like he did back
it'll
in the
be
day.
Like back in the day, right? Just pull the Lancer out. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know. The crowd while it's on. Catch by the handle, bitches. Later.
I do think Cliffy B, like, being part of the franchise, get a little bit of good PR. I still don't think that it'll revitalize the franchise to bring it back to where it once was. Because I honestly don't think Gears will ever get back to that point. Because it's just one of those games that they, you know, like, I don't want to say franchise fatigue, because they don't saturate Gears like other franchises. Yeah, they don't saturize the franchise. But I do feel like Halo has the same thing. I think with shooters, especially with these like competitive multiplayer shooters, only one that doesn't, for some reason, never dies is Call of Duty. That's the only freaking shooter game.
Why, right?
Because it's the dude bro game. It's the game that people who don't play video games, that always every year it's like, oh, I need to play video games that when the new Call of Duty come out.
It's not that it jumps in different realms and different eras. We had the one in the future. We have the one in 1942.
Ah, come on. You really think that?
We have of course. Why do you think people wanted this modern warfare one?
It's because they go to different eras and then they remove the campaign for one of the games and it's still sold like hotcakes.
Yeah, I did not approve that.
Call of Duty is like Doritos and Mountain Dew, man.
I love both of them. Stop hating. That's America.
I can't agree with you there, because Call of Duty was one of the first great multiplayer games on PC years ago. I mean, they had a lot of them, but Call of Duty really was at the time was groundbreaking. It's like, oh shit, it's fast, it's furious.
Call of Duty wasn't the one that had Steven Spielberg involved. That one, that wasn't them. That was
Medal of
Honor, right?
No.
Yeah.
It was
the Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor, I think.
Was it Day of Defeat?
Respawn.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, and but
they left the Infinity Ward. And then they went and started Respawn, but it's still the same people.
It's a great game. It's been a great series, and I'll tell you what, this latest Modern Warfare, aside from all the bugs the PC's been having with crashing since the last patch, has been pissing me off. It's one of the best Call of Duties ever made. Yeah. It's the gameplay is so damn good. Now, I say this, I've been playing Call of Duty since the beginning, before any console gamer knew what Call of Duty was. This is the best in Call of Duty. It just feels and plays so good. I can't stop playing. I'm a mess.
We got Brian over here. He got the platinum.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's got crossplay. Come on.
It's happiness. Pick up your controller and go run around.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, moving on. Ubisoft has 5 AAA games for this fiscal year,
apparently. All next gen shit.
All next gen, right?
Yeah. Well, we knew this. This is all the games that got pushed back.
Should we call it?
Go do it.
You know, the new Watch Dogs game is in there, and I'm willing to bet that Watch Dogs game is going to get pushed to next gen.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
the Viking one. You know?
Yeah, probably.
It's probably going to be a new.
What do you mean the crew?
No, not the crew. Fucking the shooter.
Far Cry.
Nope.
Rainbow Six. The quarantine or whatever it was.
Yep. And Far Cry. Maybe a Far Cry. I think they're gonna throw something new in there.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. I forgot about that game. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody did.
How could you forget about Skull and Bones?
The game's gorgeous. But yeah, it's the typical Ubisoft. Ubisoft does a good job. I gotta hand it to them.
They still have a bunch of stuff they haven't released yet for Breakpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to implement bring back Team AI, and that's coming eventually. And of course, they just announced Terminator, but there's a bunch of other content that they all put on hold because they had to keep trying to fix all the issues that the damn game had.
And not to mention that didn't Breakpoint not do the numbers that they wanted to do.
The Division 2 also didn't, which is why in March we're getting the full makeover.
They're essentially doing the rollback. They're throwing it in New York again to just give you Coney Island now, and they give Coney you all Island. The shit that they had
it's
before.
Funny you mentioned the rollback. God Roll is returning for all your gear. You can get God Roll. You're gonna see a meter. I'm doing a piece Diamond Coalition, just breaking down all the news about all this cool stuff coming. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the shit works and doesn't crash, but it won't. But still, we can hope. Hopefully it works out. But yeah, going back to New York, all this.
So was the plan always to go back to New York?
No. There was plans, and they talked about it. That's the thing. I got to give them credit, man. Ubisoft and Massive, the studios working. They have every Wednesday on their Twitch, they do a show called State of the Game, and the devs come on, and they answer questions. They first feed off a bunch of things that they're working on, glitches that they know about, stuff, and they listen to the live chat, and they just start answering questions. And people kept saying, hey, DC is great and all, but it's not like New York. What happened to all the other things going on that was in New York? Remember, you had the subway system, the underground. How do you do that in DC? They got a subway system, but it's not like advanced like this. I mean, how do you pull this off? And they understood that. And they were like, okay, fine. And then they teased that they were thinking about going back to New York, and they put little posters and stuff throughout the world. And then eventually, poof, DLC. And that's the thing. It's not part of the map. We've played the other two stories. The other two stories, you go to a chopper, and then it ports you over to whatever the location, like the Pentagon and the College Point. It's not one that you can just travel. You can't just walk over there. So these are just add-ons. And the same is going to be for Coney Island. You get a helicopter, and it's going to take you there. And then after that, in March, because Episode 3, this pisses me off also. Episode 3, which is free content if you have the season pass and all that, is launching sometime this month. But they can't even tell us a date. This past Wednesday, they said they don't even have a date. I'm like, we're already in February. It's supposed to be out now because the big update that's going to have the new weapons, you're going to have a flamethrower and the new gear and all this stuff, that's in March. And, they're supposed to be also, we're getting an increased gear cap, and there's going to be more content, which is what a lot of people, myself included, are hoping for. For those who played Division 1, they remember we have Resistance, which was their version of Horde mode. The survival mode, which was really cool, and you had to get certain gear or you'll freeze and all that stuff. And then you had the underground, the subway system, which was a dungeon crawling mode. That stuff is still absent from the Division 2, those modes. And those are very popular modes. So we're hoping, and the way they make it seem, and because they said, hey, we're not just revamping and doing a makeover of gear 2.0 and all that stuff. That's what they were calling it, all the gear. But they said it's going to implement a lot of new gameplay aspects. A lot of new gameplay stuff. So I'm hoping that it means that these modes are coming, and hopefully free. But I have a feeling they may try to charge for a season 2. Sorry, season 3. They're saying this is season 3. Season 2 is still part of the other stuff, which I don't see that as related. But they're calling the season 3 in March.
Didn't they? That. There's also Beyond Good and Evil.
Yes.
That has no date.
They put out a statement that is not coming out before whatever April 2021. Not part of that launch list.
Oh, yet. It's not. Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, people are making a big stink about it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, to be honest, the biggest problem with that was the fact that they, I think people wanted a Beyond Good and Evil where you actually play the characters again. I don't know. A lot of people didn't seem that impressed with whatever they were showing, even though it was some pretty cool stuff. It was like something like you could make your own things and make your own bases and stuff. Like it was all about customization, but that doesn't feel like Beyond Good and Evil at all.
Would you call that Rabbids game? Triple A?
Is it Rabbids game?
Rayman.
No, the one
the Raven Mario Rabbids Ring, games.
They're working on a sequel, and that's also supposed to be coming out. Is that a Triple A game?
I don't know. I feel like it's a. I mean, here's the thing. It's a triple A company, but it is kind of like a double A sort of game.
It's a Nintendo triple A game.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
right. They said that one's also in the works to come out this year. So I don't know if they list that as a triple A game, but it did sell.
You know what they should do with the Switch? They should just like put out all their old games that they like even older games. Just throw them all on there because it just seems to be. Everybody just seems to be accepting of it. It's like, oh my God, Assassin's Creed 1. Holy shit.
We talked about it last week. It's just that whole ability of playing these older games on the go.
Mm-hmm.
These AAA game, these experiences and handheld. Awesome.
They could try to do Deus Ex again. Remember they did the Wii U? They had Deus Ex 1 on there. And they did all this crazy like touchpad junk on all over.
By the way, Brian, I heard what you said, and no, we don't get good things, man.
I can hope, though. I can hope.
Talk about Splinter Cell.
Oh. That would be nice.
That would yes. be nice. You know, there is that space now. I mean, you know, Kojima's off making walking simulators. Jump right in there, Splinter Cell.
Don't worry.
Hire David Hayter to play the guy, too, just to fuck with everybody.
Well, hire Cliffy B. Puckett.
I don't know. Death Stranding might come to Switch. Might be able to play it on Switch.
Ah, man, I would want a Splinter Cell. I mean, they don't. Are there any like stealth games anymore?
Stealth like that?
Yeah, like those types of games. I don't think. Man,
there's games with stealth elements like that. Uncharted had a lot of that.
Well, I mean, you know, because Uncharted is kind of like the no rules pasta. It's like it's got everything in it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind
of
everything.
It's got a little bit of the. It's got a little bit of stealth. It's got a little bit of platforming. You can shoot a bunch of
cover shooting.
Yeah, you got cover shooting. It's got like everything. It's the buffet of
wasn't there games. A ninja game? Wasn't one of these ninja games that came out was like that? It was all about stealth.
What?
Neo?
Or...
No.
Another one.
Didn't Sekiro have a?
Sekiro. It has some stealth, but I mean, mostly you're fighting.
Sekiro is like Tenchu.
It is kind of like that's what they were sort of trying to do. It's like a spiritual success.
It started off as Tenchu. Mm-hmm. Started off as a new Tenchu game, and then they changed it.
You know, it's funny. It's that From Software was just the publisher. It's actually another company that made the original Tenchu games, and they're actually still sort of making Tenchu games. They're just like anime girls. Sorry, I don't know. I can't remember the name of the company. All right, next one. I mean, we keep on talking about Cliffy B. So here's another one. Cliffy B says that Lawbreakers failed because he was too political.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, I don't.
It just came out at a bad time.
Yeah, it was the wrong game at the wrong time. And the game wasn't bad. It's just the wrong time.
It was the Overwatch clone, right?
Yeah.
It tried to do its own version.
Yeah.
It was. Oh, come on. It was such a clone. And also, I need to specify, he said that it was one of the problems that it had. Oh. It wasn't the problem, it was one of the problems. He was very clear to state that when he seen that tweet.
Oh, okay.
Man, I mean, even that, I wouldn't say it was one of the problems.
It's I don't remember.
Probably not one of the main problems, you know.
I don't think. Yeah, to be honest, I think it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't remember, you know, hearing too much about political stuff with him on that game. I think it was just the fact that the game just doesn't look anything like. How are you gonna go against Overwatch with those freaking characters? Like, Overwatch has these really cool looking attractive characters. You don't care what the hell they do, they just look good. They make good action figures, and Lawbreakers didn't even have that, you know.
It's just one of those things where Overwatch just dominated. I think a lot of people think it would be that go-to game.
That's
one of sort of like Fortnite.
The one
of PUBG. Nobody thought Fortnite was definitely going to dominate when it went into Battle Royale.
Fortnite also has very cool looking characters. You notice the similarity between
the dances.
Yeah, they have the dances. It's
the Michael Jackson of this generation.
They're just very sort of appealing sort of characters. So it's like, okay, yeah, granted, they're kind of generic. They're essentially G.I. Joes. They're like, literally, it's like they just went and raided the whole G.I. Joe closet with those things. But it's like, they're really kind of fun looking, stylized looking characters. And you would, like, just because of the style, I think that is also very, very attractive. And I think that's what Overwatch was. Essentially, because they had nothing. They, they essentially, closed down that game because they're like, you know, the story, it was some other game that then they said the story wasn't working or whatever. So they turned. But I'm sure they're like, yo, but we have all these really cool characters. So why don't we just, you know, make up the story later and concentrate on the first person multiplayer aspects and try to get that good.
Yeah.
And then just release these cool little cartoons and artwork to kind of get
people interested. What was the one at Gearbox? Remember Gearbox tried also during that
season? Yep. Oh, Battleborn.
Battleborn.
That had cool colors that had that
style. Battleborn, I think the one thing that, because Battleborn was the first version of that sort of thing that everybody was interested in. In fact, before even Overwatch had even been talked about, people were all like, yo, Battleborn. But then people played Battleborn.
and then there was the Microsoft one too. Microsoft worked with that company, that other game that was like that. I forget the name. Huh? No, not Paladins. I got it in my list somewhere. You know what I'm talking about. It had the gods. It had the giant gods.
Smite?
Not Smite. Not Smite. It was a bunch of little guys, and then you and one giant god fought against another team and their giant god. And you had to move in and take over area, and once you got all the way into the area where the god was, you'd fight against the god, and the two gods would fight. And these giant characters in the game, what the hell was it called? And it was actually pretty good. I'm looking through my...
You're not talking about black and white, are you?
Nope.
No,
that's... Nobody's saying it was this gen.
It was in the same vein as Paladins and all that other shit.
Oh, shit.
And Smite and all that. Oh, God. Before the show is over, I'll figure out what the name of this game.
Yeah, I just think that his game was just not cool. I think that game was not very attractive looking. It's just not, if you're going to go that road, you're going to have some solid looking characters. You got to have a solid, I don't know exactly what the gameplay is, but I think it was that?
Gigantic, maybe?
Gigantic.
That was it. Jesus. That was another one that kind of failed.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one.
The interesting about these types of games, there's not that many that thrive within the genre. It's like Unreal Tournament, Team Fortress, Overwatch, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, another thing you got to realize, every new IP is...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Every single one. And for those that... those new IPs that everybody knows about that make it, there's probably hundreds of new IPs that just fail. Some of them don't get out the gate. Some of them are released and nobody cares about it, and they just suck and fail. I mean, just remember Insurgency? You know,
that game was good.
It wasn't really a big. I don't mean Insurgency. I mean Inversion, the game where you can zero gravity, you can play upside down. It was a shooter, pretty cool game. It never really took off though. Mm. You know, Loadout. Sure. Loadout was cool.
Loadout was a free one, though. I played a little bit of that one.
But it didn't blow up, you know? So,
Drawn to Death. It's funny, it's funny how, like, both Cliffy and David Jaffe decided to go against all the things that they were sort of known for.
Yeah.
And it kind of didn't work out for them.
Because they get tired. They get tired of that stuff. Orcs Must Die Unchained. Another one. Jeez. Pretty cool. Didn't take off.
Oh, Orcs Must Die is so good.
Yep. Great game. Great fucking game.
But that's like more of a first-person tower or third-person tower defense.
It's like a tower defense, multiplayer tower defense.
Oh, it's so
good. Set traps and stuff. Really cool game.
Yeah, man.
Was that that was an Xbox totally game?
No, that was PC.
Yeah, I played it on PC. Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know if it did port over to the consoles.
I don't think it did. It didn't make it because it didn't really take off.
Oh, that game is so good, man. Yeah. I wish more people played that.
I could have sworn that game came out on the consoles. Yeah, but no.
It was on the PlayStation Experience.
What's the PlayStation Experience? I can't remember.
The December thing that they had.
Oh, the press conference.
Okay.
It was shown there, but well, I guess no one liked it on PlayStation. I guess.
You know, what I realized. You know, when you go through your Steam library and it's just the actual names of the games, and you look at it, yeah, whatever. When you switch it over so you can see like the thumbnails of the games, and you look at your library, my library's fucking insane. I'm looking at stuff like I didn't know I had Total War Empire. What the hell's War of the Vikings? I have three Dawn of War games. I got Dawn of War, Space Marines, and Vermintide. What the fuck?
Oh, that's Warhammer.
Yeah.
40K, yeah.
The card game one is good. The soldier.
I don't like a lot of this stuff. I'm like, where did this come from?
You just got games. Well, you just games appear inside of your library.
It's insane.
Well, people can gift you games on Steam.
They could have been gifting you stuff.
He would see it as a gift. He would accept it. He has to accept it.
I'm looking at some of this stuff. Titan Quest. I'm sorry.
No, I know what you're talking about. It's like you just all of a sudden you just say like, wait, what? I did buy that.
Yeah, Starpoint Gemini? What the fuck?
I have a couple of those there. I haven't even played Steam that much, but I do have like a couple of mysterious games. I'm like, oh, did I get that? All right, I guess I did.
Well, I sent you a few.
You did.
I gave you a few.
Before you, it's the Brett Murdoch.
Happy hour?
Happy hour. It's time for the fireside chat at Brett Murdoch's house.
It's that
time of night.
It's
our dancing.
I'm gonna leave it on there while he lights the lights his fireplace up.
You should leave it on here. I'll change it into a sweater.
are you changing to a sweater and you're gonna take off your shoes and stick them into a thing like Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, exactly. Like, hello, gamers.
So yeah, it's interesting that he decided to start talking about how Lawbreakers failed, and then all of a sudden talking, you know, essentially tweeting at Microsoft, "Hey, buddy. I still got some gears in me."
Well, he knew it was going to get the word out. People were going to start talking. Mm-hmm. And we don't know the back end. All we do know is that he made this all and consult on it. And now that's going to be the whole question. Whenever they talk to Phil, all right, now Ferguson is gone. Do you want to work new gears? Hey, are you taking Cliffy back? Is Cliffy coming back? That's going to be the first question anyone asks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see who the first one is to ask that one. So, yeah. Next one we got is Wonderful 101 has a successful Kickstarter. It's the HD remaster of Wonderful 101. Platinum Games decided to go out and essentially rather than just try to get the game published on these things by another studio, they just decided, hey, you know what? Let's throw this shit on Kickstarter and see what happens. That thing within, I don't know, I want to say 6 hours managed to blast past a lot of its higher tiers. I think everybody wanted it to go to PS4. But here's the goofy thing about it, though. When me and the guys were looking at it, you notice that like you saw like it was like PC, Switch, and then like way above that was the PS4 version. Like the PS4 version was like the PC and the Switch combined. Like it's like, yo, why is that? Why do you need so much to make the PlayStation 4 version?
That's a good question. It could be because Sony, because of the cost of putting it on the PlayStation 4 store as opposed to Switch and Steam or PC, so it costs a lot more. So that's probably why they needed more.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why.
Why did I don't like huge. Developers using
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter's for indie developers and people who don't have resources, especially people who don't have connections to the industry like Platinum Games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need this. I don't think they have a good excuse other than they didn't want to spend the money.
Well, did you hear their reasoning that it's apparently Nintendo to get it up?
Well, that's fine. You make that decision, but honestly, like, I think that takes resources away from other people trying to, you know, kickstart an independent game, you know? And yeah, everybody goes, oh, Platinum. Oh, man, what if 101? I didn't play that. Nobody bought the Wii U up with that money, you know? And then you ignore, like, other guys who are struggling trying to get stuff funded. You know, they get thrown by the wayside. That's not what Kickstarter is for.
Imagine you're an indie developer and you launched your Kickstarter the same day Platinum launched theirs.
Oh, man.
Yeah, completely overshadowed, yeah.
Yeah.
They managed to get... I mean, to be honest, like, I don't, like... Other than, like the people who really liked that game, I mean, I definitely think that it also would have been a hard sell if they tried to get it done under normal means. You know what I mean? Like, Wonderful 101 did well, but it didn't do great. So I feel like... Yeah. I feel like this sort of helps get the game out to a place where places where they wouldn't have probably would have normally been seen. I don't know.
I think they could have done it like you have resources to allocate. Okay, so Nintendo doesn't want to give you any support to develop it unless it's exclusive. So either you choose A, okay, it's exclusive to you and you will just put it on the Switch, or you go B, fuck that, and you go like you put on your big boy pants and you go to investors and large banks that you have access to and you get money. And because you're hedging your bets against like, okay, if we put this on a platform that's 110 million or, and you add Xbox and PCs to that and we go, okay, we have this big market. If we put it out there, the game's definitely going to sell. We'll make this money back. You do that. You don't go on Kickstarter.
Yeah. I agree. There was a way that these things happened. Kickstarter was a thing. Kickstarter is a platform. The problem is when you let these big companies go on here, and I'm just kind of nuts, it shoves out the little guy. Now you have this kind of dynamic because, oh, well, big corporate interests, big corporate companies just want to use this as a test bed to see how many guaranteed pre-orders they can get before they fucking release a game.
I wouldn't say Platinum Games is incredibly huge and corporate. I mean, they've worked for other big corporations, but they've never really been a big.
They're a
more well-known studio, yes, but I don't
know. They're a household name. And, like, if Platinum Games, like, if they can't do it, and if, like, they're on the level of almost Ninja Theory. Like, they make quality games. They've got a good reputation within the gaming. And maybe this is a sign of a bigger picture. Like, Platinum Games shouldn't be having the problem where they're trying to get funding for a game.
And also, to make people pay for the mistake, it was Kamiya that burned that bridge with Microsoft. I don't know what happened with Scalebound and what happened when Phil Spencer went there to review it. But he burned that bridge. If he were to go now and say, hey, Microsoft, we'll give you a game exclusive, Microsoft wouldn't take it. It'd be like, fuck yourself. So all you have is Nintendo and Sony to go to, right? But he put himself in that position. Don't put it on other people like, hey, crowdfund this game. You already developed the game. You already released it years ago, right? You should be able to pull resources. You have dev kits. You don't need money for that. Yeah. You need money to get it on the store. Put on your big boy pants to go to investors and get money like everyone else, in your caliber. Do not go to other people and go, oh, we'll have tears. No, fuck that. You made that game already.
At least one thing you
have to pay back investors, Chris.
one thing you could be assured about this. At least the game will come out because the game's already fucking made. Exactly. Not like a lot of those Kickstarters. Unless Platinum Games just does a bullshit port, which with the amount of money that they had thrown into this thing, they better not do a bullshit port.
Yeah, better not end up like Mighty Number 9, I'll tell you that.
So yeah, it's funny, but we actually ran out of topics. So,
excuse me?
Yeah, we just blasted through that shit. So, you know, I'm going to do the usual thing for time. And that's, we're going to ask the one question that everyone wants to
know. What was that?
What are you guys playing?
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
I'll go to Torrance first. You're playing Call of Duty, Modern Warfare?
Yeah, that's what I've been playing.
You're not playing all those thousands of Steam games that you got on there?
Yeah, man. You gotta play Dawn of War.
All three.
I am living a series. The game struggle is real. I look at stuff and I'm like, oh, I want to play that. I'm like, yeah, Call of Duty. Then I can go to bed. I don't have to get involved. I don't have to use mind matter to like dedicate to a campaign or grinding. It's just shoot a couple people and go to bed, and that's what I've been doing. I'll get back to it one of these days.
I feel like that's that I've after, especially, you know, for like on my side, I can totally understand now, where it's like sometimes you're just like working and working all day and you kind of don't want to put your brain onto something like,
yes,
you know, this deep story or remember, yep, what chapter you're in, you know. Mm-hmm. I could understand, like I had that like before, right? Because I was doing a lot of commuting to New York and stuff, doing stuff for you know, working on stuff, and I just get home like, yeah, can I play? I want to play something simple.
Mm-hmm.
So the simple game at the time I played was Double Switch with Corey Haim. You know, mm-hmm, the what is it, the FMV games, the Sega CD. Yeah. They re-released, mm-hmm, it on there. I was like, yeah, this is simple. Not a lot going on here. Arlie Ermey. So, what you been playing?
You said Corey Haim?
Yeah, was it? Yeah, it's Corey Haim. Corey
Haim.
Yeah, Corey Haim.
You sure it wasn't Corey Feldman or something?
No, it was
Corey Haim.
Oh,
Corey Feldman is still alive. Corey Haim's dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler, man.
Wait, Corey Haim died?
Yeah, he died. He died years ago.
Yeah, he died years ago.
Drug overdose or something?
Yeah, it was drugs. Yep. That's unfortunate.
Holy shit!
Yep. Yep.
Quick one. Did you ever watch the show Two Corys?
Here's the crazy one. Okay, like when you beat a double switch, they have eulogies to all the people that that passed away who made that game. Like most of the cast in that game is dead.
Damn. Holy shit.
Like Arlie Ermey, you know, he passed away pretty recently. Corey Haim has passed away. There's a character actor that passed away in there. It is a bunch of other people. It's just like one after the other, a bunch of these people have already passed away.
So it's cursed.
Maybe it is.
No, it's
no. It's just the years have gone on, and it's just that just so happened that a bunch of these people had passed away. Well,
that's a damn shame.
Yeah,
it's people passing away. So Iggy Pop has his new album. Guy's 72 with his six pack, still touring. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see because I know the original band members, they passed away.
Oh yeah,
but it's like a full list, like 20. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Now imagine that if all your friends, even David Bowie, and he's by himself, and there's some sad tracks on work where he talks about it. It's fucked up. But yeah, it's sad when you see everybody disappearing.
That's why it wouldn't be the last man standing.
Yeah,
I've told people like that, and they know it's fucking dark. But like yeah, I'm gonna be super old. I'm gonna be the oldest. I'm like, I'm gonna be the last person there.
It's lonely.
Watch everybody else fall before you. You don't want to do that shit.
So Carlos, what you been playing?
That's pretty much it.
You're playing. That's it. I totally didn't even hear it.
Oh, chess.
Oh, you've been playing. Going old school.
Yeah,
going old school. Week, I mean, you don't need no graphics.
Yo, man, it's one frame per second. I've been playing Monster Hunter before that, but
yeah, we haven't done the stream in a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't done the stream in like
Tony's
2 weeks.
Tony's been running around and nobody wants to jump in.
I actually don't have Iceborne yet.
Excuse me?
Gasp! Well, I don't have it either, so.
Yo, wait, man, it's good.
Ice porn? What's that?
Ice porn?
Is that a Canadian thing?
Iceborne.
What the fuck you? Oh,
the Monster Hunter. The Monster Hunter. DLC.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Like, Iceborne. I gotta look that up.
you're like a result.
I guarantee you. There's always a result.
Mm.
So, Brian, what you been playing?
Rage, and more Rage.
Rage 2?
Yeah, Rage. Not because of Brexit, but just Rage in general in the game.
That's Rage because of Brexit.
So Brian, I mean, since you brought it up, how are people reacting? I mean, it's active. It's done. This is it. Brexit.
The usual stuff. Not to get political, but we have to. The left-wing people, they are upset because obviously they didn't win the vote and Brexit has happened, so they're just upset and annoyed, and everyone else just doesn't care. Like no one really cares anymore. It's like, okay, it's done now, okay, cool, now what? Like,
let's have some breakfast.
Isn't that the whole thing?
No,
you had to leave, you had to close up shop, you couldn't stay in a country. I thought that was the whole thing behind it.
No one's, well, as far as I know, like, no one's really, like, left or it's been affected in that way. It's just like, okay, the votes happen. Because, effectively, we haven't left the EU yet. There's, like, a 12-month period from now until January next year, where we have, like, make all the deals and then transit out. So we're kind of, like, in the honeymoon stage, if you wish. What's the premarital stage? Like, guess engaged stage?
Yeah.
We're in that period. We have bought the rings. We are planning to go, and we just make sure that everything's good, so that when the big day comes, we can just go. Yeah. So nothing.
Brian, I'm going to be traveling from Paris to London in June through via train. So I won't need a passport to get into London.
I don't know how it works for U.S. passports into London. I'm not too sure.
I thought the whole thing is once you're in Europe, you're pretty much... You're in Europe. It's like You don't need a show.
I think that only works if you're a member of the EU. Like, you don't need to have a visa to travel around the EU. But since outside, I think you may still need a visa. But even then, I don't think it's gonna be that much of a problem.
Points of the EU, that and a common currency.
Yeah, that was. But then, as you can see, common currency just never really took off.
Yeah, Britain still. Britain. No, Britain still had the pound.
They never got rid of it.
They never got rid of them.
Yeah. Like, so many countries still have their own currency. So it's like, that fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt Brian's ever used the euro in his life.
Nope.
So Rage.
Yeah, Rage 2. I'm wrapping it up. You know, it still has the same issues I had last time, which is that it's just open and empty. Like, it's a Ubisoft open world game.
It's open for the sake of being open.
Yeah, it has too many things there for no reason. It's like, it's not focused. So, meh. But on the plus side, the story seems short, so at least that's good. But yeah, it's Rage. If you enjoyed the first one, you have some level of enjoyment because they have some references to the first one, such as some of the characters in Rage 2 are children of the first of the characters in Rage 1, so that made me smile.
Do they have those? Does that game use the super textures like the original one?
I don't remember. I don't think it does.
I remember id was pushing that whole. I remember what was it? It was pushing the super textures years ago
with that game.
Yeah, they were like essentially it's a giant texture that stretches the whole environment.
Yeah, that was a cool idea.
But
it didn't quite work as well, but
yeah, because it was like a lot of different things. Like some parts of it wouldn't load correctly. So Chris, what were you playing?
I'm trying to platinum Sekiro.
Oh shit. Yeah, I forgot. So yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, after I platinumed Death Stranding, I went back to Sekiro. I finally beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on New Game Plus now. But getting the different endings is weird because you have to do these side quests and do very specific things at certain times or else you mess it up. And already in this playthrough, I realized I messed up something because I was supposed to get some rice from somebody and give it to somebody else. But you're supposed to do it before this thing happens, and I killed the boss. And then I went to get the rice, and I'm like, well, shit, now I have to go to New Game Plus 2 to fucking do it again. So, yes. Yeah, that's what I'm working on now.
I mean, all that is just endings? Is it, like, do you have to do the, was it Dark Souls where you had to make all the weapons and all that other stuff?
Yeah, you have to get all the prosthetic arm upgrades and learn all the moves. So I learned all the moves. I grinded and leveled up to learn all the moves. I need one material I can get now that will give me all the prosthetic upgrades. I have most of them except one. And I have to beat Owl a second time, but he's in a memory that you have to do a side quest to get it. To get the fight, and I didn't do the right thing, so I can't get the fight. I have to go into the new game. Again, I have to go into New Game Plus 2, do the exact sequence of events so I can get the item and go fight him because he's a trophy to kill the second version.
Interesting.
Yeah, and let's see. What else? I think that's it. I think those are the only trophies I need besides the two specific endings and the owl fight and the finish the prosthetic arm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's funny because I didn't think you would go back to playing Sekiro.
I didn't either. And, Kristen kept, she's like, you didn't beat Sekiro. I'm like, fuck it. All right, I'm going back.
You're like, I'm taking it back. So Brett, what are you playing?
The ukulele.
Ooh, which one? Ukulele. Which one? The side scroller or the
third? Oh, an actual ukulele.
He's talking about the actual ukulele.
Oh, what?
The actual instrument.
Yeah. Oh, you're playing the actual. Oh, look at that.
I got myself a sweet uke, bro.
We have all from Hawaii. We have one. Also, when we went to Hawaii, those are fun.
Oh, look at that. Play some.
I can't really play much. I'm learning. I can play F.
There you go.
It's not that tune. No, but, man, that thing fucking kills your finger. I haven't been able to feel my index finger in like 4 days.
Well, you know what? You gotta work up the the calluses and stuff.
Like I know. And there's the one of the first notes you learn on the damn thing is a high F, which goes on the the very first fret.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to play like twice the pressure there than you do anywhere else. Rest of my fingers are fine. It's this one, just this one. It's all been pins and needles for like a fucking week.
You can't detune it like in heavy metal, where you have to detune the guitar to play it. No, fair. To make it easier to play.
Not that I know of. I'll ask my musician friends. They're like, why don't you fucking tell me you can just detune it?
That's what detuning is something that Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath used to do because he's apparently missing two fingers on, I think, his right hand, and he has he's missing the tips of them. So he had to detune his guitar so that he could actually play it with these special like fingertips that he had on there. So he gave birth to this music, heavy metal, by the fact that he couldn't fully play it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's awesome. I've been fucked around with that, but I have been playing Ancestors, and I've been really enjoying that game.
Oh, yeah, Ancestors. It's funny, that game, it's like I remember it and then I forget it. I remember it, then I immediately forget about it.
Yeah, it has this weird thing about it. Like, it's got a spell or something on it where you just can't quite. I own it. I play it, and I still do the same thing. I'm like, what am I gonna? Oh yeah, I've got fucking Ancestors.
Yeah,
like, Monkey Simulator. Let's do this shit.
You know, I play it. You know what it is? They really needed to give it sort of a poppier name than Ancestors. It's a good name.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. It is a good name. It is the least memorable thing. It's like, hey, remember that special on evolution that you watched on the History Channel? Yeah. What was the name of it?
Ancestors.
becoming us, the civilization. I don't fucking remember all the names of those shows. Like, tell me the name of a special that you saw on History Channel that you really liked. You're thinking of a special that you really liked right now, but you can't remember the name of it.
The only one I can think of is Earth.
That's the only one
I can think of is Earth.
You know that you've watched some dope stuff, like, and you're like, man, there was this one about like the history of Rome, and I know that's being super vague. There's one about the history of Rome. Man, they really did a cool Caligula thing. It was a cool thing. And someone's like, oh, what was it called? You're like, oh, I don't fucking remember for the life of me. Yeah. Same thing with Ancestors.
Yeah, it kind of has that sort of thing. And I'm like, because once you sort of remember the name, then you go, oh yeah, it's the game by the guy who made Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Even when you do remember it, you just give it your own name in your head. So,
Monkey Simulator probably would have been a more catchier name than Ancestors. To be honest.
I don't know. The thing is, even if you gave it a popular name, it's not a big AAA game.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a double A.
It is. It's highly polished, and it's made by talented people, and there's a fair amount of, like, you could almost not tell. It's just this kind of feeling that you get.
Hmm.
Like, it's like when a soda tastes diet, and somebody gives it to you, you're like, I mean, it tastes like Coke, but it also doesn't. Or rather, like, not even a diet. You're expecting a soda and you get an RC. You're like, okay. I mean, this is not bad. RC isn't bad. It's just, if you're not expecting RC, it tastes a little off. So it's same kind of thing. If you go and expecting this big AAA, big budget AAA experience, it's a little off. But I can't tell you exactly where.
Hmm.
The visuals are spot on. The music is perfect and fitting. The mechanics on it, while not the smoothest thing in the world, I mean, they might be one of the smoother things because, like, compared to Assassin's Creed games, and yeah, it's right about there. I can see that. Run and jump and grab everything, and every once in a while you go, no, up, motherfucker! Up! Why do you not know up? so yeah, just like Assassin. I think the only thing that I don't particularly love about it is I feel like it could have used a more robust combat system. Most of the game you spend is prey, but when you learn to, strike things back and wield weapons, it's more of a quick time thing. So when something attacks you, you press and hold the dodge button, back, right, left, and wait for the sound of the perfect little ting, and then you dodge and you perfect dodge. if you do that with a weapon in your hand, you'll attack. And there's not really a way to, like, attack multiple times. You can just, like, you know, if a tiger attacks, you can just, like, brace and then fucking stab it in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It does make for some great moments. Like, I know I'm pretty sure I told Nancy this story before, but I had an almost Dark Souls-esque moment for the first time. I was out and I was hunting, trying to find new areas on the map or whatever, and this fucking tiger keeps on rolling up on me, being like, sup, brah, and then biting me. And I was just not cool with that. So I got my dodges down pretty well. I'm pretty nimble. But it got scratched up and had to run, had to leave a place. And then I grabbed my stick. Motherfucker came at me. And I shanked that motherfucker like we were in prison. And he owed me money. And he goes running off. Like, fuck that noise. And I had a second stick. Switch the stick to my other hand. Motherfucker comes rolling back around. Attacks me again. I stab him again. Then I try and move off, and he's tracked me to a third location. Still, but fucking camping me. This bitch is camping me. So I'm trying to move to a third location. This guy keeps coming off. Finally, I manage to get down to the ground and grab a rock as he's leaping out at me and smash him in the fucking face, sending him running for a little bit. And use that rock, found a stick, and then sharpened that one. And literally, just as I finish, this motherfucker comes leaping out of the bushes again. Still the two old sticks poking out of his back. That's how I knew it was the same fucking tiger. finally, I stabbed him and fucking killed his ass. And you could have heard me from two doors over be like, yes! Eat a dick! Eat a big old tiger dick! I cut stone tools. I cut that bitch up and I ate him right there. I can't even metabolize meat. I got poisoned, but it was fucking worth it. I feel like I sent a goddamn message to all the other tigers in the area. They're like, motherfucker is not even a carnivore, and he just cut up and ate Doug.
That's crazy. I mean, it's funny because, like, every single time, like, you've talked about it, you have, like, a fun little interesting story to go with it. It's just, like, is there a sort of like an end game to that, or is it just kind of continuous? Like, you keep ancestoring up to get to a point.
The idea is that you're trying to go from where we branched off from the monkeys in the evolutionary tree all the way up to Australopithecus, which mm-hmm. was Lucy, or the first human,
mm-hmm.
you know, humanoid, technically not Homo sapiens. I don't, it's Australopithecus, but, so you go from tool using monkey, and what you're trying to do is, by doing activities with monkey, a baby on your back, you're essentially reinforcing the neurons in that baby monkey. Mm-hmm. It's learning about things as you do them. Monkey see, monkey do, kind of, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of whole thing. So you're expanding the size of their brain by doing things with these monkeys on your back. And then the way the game mechanics do it is, for each child that you have, you can lock down one neural trait. So your brain is expanding. You're learning to do all these new things. You're learning to, you know, put something from one hand into another. Like, oh my God, that was a huge thing. But that has to be reinforced in order for the babies to be mm-hmm. able to do all of these things. So you're kind of spreading out, instead of a skill tree, it's a neural network. And the idea is you're trying to spread your neural network and reach Australopithecus. So while you can learn all of these things with one generation, you may lose 90% of that when you jump to the next generation. So the idea isn't to just, you know, go out and level up as quick as possible. It's to level up while managing your resources. They're kind of intertwined. So yeah, it's like, yeah, you can get 80 skill points and you can spend them all, but next time you level up, you only get to keep 7 of them. You're like, oh, well, so I could use them until the next time I level up, until the time next time I die or my character dies. So, and each of the clan members is essentially one of your lives. So having many of them is helpful. So it's a really weird system, and it's something I've never seen anything exactly like it before. It's a novel game, but it's a sandbox game in how a sandbox ought to be, I suppose, in that it's self-driven. It definitely gives you steps and guidelines, and in those new steps and guidelines is, you know, where the evolution happened. Like, right now I'm working on a quest that the game gave me. Find a new settlement. I probably could have found 3 by now, but I'm like, I'm going to find a good settlement where I'm not going to get constantly attacked by tigers. Tigers, they're a big problem, turns out. Believe it or
not. That's pretty nutty. I mean, I was definitely thinking about trying that one out. I'm just currently in my current line of getting through Death Stranding.
I think it hits the same notes that Death Stranding does, despite being a vastly different game.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of beta wave activity kind of thing. Because, you know, when I'm playing the game, like, I'm never really concerned with any huge overarching thing. It's just,
no,
I really want to get to the other side of the valley, see what's over there, and I want to make sure that I don't die or break a leg along the way. And that in and of itself is a task, the same way, delivering a
cargo
in Death Stranding.
Yeah. You kind of fall into that sort of Zen mode with Death Stranding, but then there's also that sort of initial fear of the environment, because you don't know in the beginning, because they don't give you a lot of information as to what's in the environments or what's there. So you're kind of figuring out, okay, I can go here, but I can't go there. I know that place is filled with ghosts. I know if that area is filled with a bunch of guys that want to steal all my shit. And, you know, it's kind of like building that sort of familiarity. And then the game also kind of like decides to throw action-y stuff at you, which is a little bit jarring, I feel. Like, it's what I call mandatory action.
It is, I think you touched on something really important in both these games, though, in that there's a sense of exploration,
mm-hmm,
that's coming from them, a sense of testing your boundaries, of not knowing where you are or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of having to feel out the world because it doesn't tell you a lot, which I wanted to point out because it's vastly different than even just a few years ago. You remember how we used to, you know, right before Dark Souls came along, the big problem was everybody was holding your hand. And I think that in an effort to deliver, quote unquote, all of the content to the consumer, we've dumbed down games in a lot of ways, not just difficulty, but in certain narratives. You know, we don't want to tell a story about X, Y, or Z because then these people don't want to hear it or don't want to buy it, or it's too extreme, these people, or we don't want to make anything remote or hidden because, you know, if you have to climb a mountain in the video game to get it, not everybody's going to want to do that, and they deserve that content. Well,
mm-hmm,
that's not really the case, and I think that Dark Souls kind of paved the way of breaking the rules. It was the first to break the rules in terms of difficulty, but now you're seeing a lot of games reaching out and trying to give back or replicate some of these experiences where I'm not sure if they even realized that they were, you know, like talking about a lost civilization. It's like, are you, you know, rediscovering lost technologies or are you reinventing them?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I think that somebody somewhere realized that people in video games like exploring. And if you give them literally everything on a minimap, and literally every recipe in the game and everything like that through a strange, convoluted UI, that's not necessarily the best way to make your customers happy. So we're seeing this weird reemergence of exploration in video games. And I'll be honest, I don't think that we've nailed it 100%, but I think it's very interesting that especially in the last few years, you've been seeing more and more, at least in my opinion, games where they're like, I don't know, figure it out. Not just difficulty, but the whole 1950s dad. You'll be fine. It'll be a valuable lesson.
Exactly. So I guess I'll go. I've been playing Death Stranding. There you go. Boom. I'm at chapter 8 now. There's certain chapters that kind of go faster than others. So I think from what I hear at this point in time, everything's going to start going. Let's start going a little bit faster. I got to, was it Heartman? He's inside of this giant, it looks like a cabin next to a lake. I'm doing missions for that guy and, you know, usual stuff, bringing him closer and all that stuff. And so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, good stuff. And, I guess that's it. That's the end of the show.
Excuse me?
Yeah. What is up with that? So, was that?
I was gonna say, motherfuckers getting tired.
Oh, I could see. We could see. I could see you falling asleep back there, Tor.
Gotta go to work.
Yep. But well, that's it. So I want to. Oh, let me get myself on the screen. All right. I want to thank you guys for watching and listening. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud. Subscribe to us on Throwdon on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are going to be in the descriptions below. I am your lousy host, Emilio Lopez, and I'm joined by Carlos Romero. Carlos Romero.
Thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throw It On. I don't think I've ever done an outro for Tony before, so that's all I can think about.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vale.
Yeah, have a good
one. Ryan Manjoma.
There's people.
Brett Murdoch.
Screw it. Deuces.
And the sleeping man.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Towards Davis. Alrighty, guys. Later.
Peace.
See ya.